Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So I was not going to address this publicly at all, but since Lindsay felt the need to go on her podcast and discuss this in order to help get her ratings, I told her that she was not wanted, that my dad did not want her there, and that he didn't care to have a relationship with her.
And it just was a little bit mind-blowing to me because I personally feel that I was kind of used at the trial, and then things changed once the conviction came down and all of the relationships very much changed.
Another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. We're talking pop culture and the latest episode of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard this week. But we have a lot to talk about. Our girl of the week, you know, I took a break from her because things got real dark, okay? Real dark-sided and strange. And they haven't, I don't think that has stopped, I will say that. But our girl of the week is going to a girl of a lot of weeks, frankly, Kim Zolciak. So Kim Zodiac Bearcan posted, as she's wont to do, you know, I feel like the only way that Kim can get any sort of stream of income at this point is by doing these targeted ads on Instagram where she'll just post something vague, comments off, comments are always off, and it'll be like, click here, and it'll be some like provocative headline, right? So this week, last week, actually, let me go back in time. Like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, she had posted a picture of Brielle in laid up in a hospital bed. This picture was from like 2021, 2022, when Brielle had some sort of procedure done. It was like a nothing. And also this was like years ago, but trying to paint it as though this was like a current situation happening. Oh my God, what happened to Brielle? Did she choke on a, you know, Chick-fil-A chicken nugget? What could have possibly happened? Nothing. Just fucking clickbait shit. And so last week, people roasted her for that. Okay, so then we get to last week where she posts a picture of her and Croy with like RIP in the caption. So of course people are like, girl, what the hell's going on? I mean, we know Croy's not dead to the bed. So what are you talking about? So obviously, like, we got to talking. We're making a lot of jokes about, like, personally, I'm thinking, how much is in the Chili's gift card? How much are they re-upping her every time when she posts these? Like, is it $25? They're like, okay, we'll give you another $25. If you really make it good, like, we can give you $30. Maybe you can get the kids, like, you know, a lemonade. Those are an extra 90 cents. What is going on here? So here's why she's a girl. Not only for that post, she goes on to say, do another clickbait post. Posting a black and white picture of her and Croy with the caption, every day, in all caps, every day it's always something new. I'm tired of so much BS being thrown my way. So you want to know, quote unquote, what died? Here's the truth, dot, dot, dot. And then, of course, you know, link in bio. So, of course, it was just about the death of her relationship, the death of her marriage. And was like, you guys, I used a picture of both of us to, you know, talk about the marriage ending, which is like a death of sorts. So hashtag RIP to that. Girl, if you don't get the fuck, why are you mad at us? Why are you mad at me? You are the one, not me. I'm reacting to what I'm being told and shown and presented. And if you don't like it, girl, then stop with the post. Even Ariana, her daughter, went on TikTok and was like, "Mom, what the fuck?" I mean, frankly, I don't know. I don't know if Ariana finished a sentence in that video. I think that was like a whole other story. But I say all this to say, even she thought it was weird and made it plain like, "Mom, you're embarrassing me. Please stop." Okay. But what? Girl, please. I don't want to do it. I really want to know. If you guys work in these types of things, if you could give me, like, what do you think Kim Zolciak is getting at this point? Are we still relying on straight up numbers, like her follower count? Or, like, do we factor in the fact that she's, like, clearly a flop bitch? She's got nothing going on. She ain't got no TV shows, no man, no job, no house. They just repossessed Brielle's car the other day. Like, she really doesn't have too much. Literally, the old lady who lived in her shoes. But how much is she getting for these? Like, are we getting, like, $1,500? You know, like, $2,500? Like, $3,654? Like, what's going on? Where is Big Papa when you need him? You know what I mean? We got to move on, y'all. Traders news very quickly. The rumors are coming out. We have two housewives being damn near confirmed. We don't have like official, but it's pretty official. Phaedra told us, not us, but she was in a red carpet and she did an interview where she said that she doesn't know how good season 3 is going to be compared to season 2, but she does think that they're going to make it nice. And so I am very excited. Dorinda. So many people, so many podcasters did their list of like their dream team of who would be on their dream season of Traitors. And I haven't done mine yet. But would Dorinda have been one of them? I think if we're coming out of New York, she would have to be, right? I don't know who else, like, who are we mining for at this point? Luann is always down to clown. I'm happy to see her on another TV show, but she wouldn't necessarily be on my dream list. You know what I mean? Like, Melissa from Real World New Orleans is on my dream list. She would be incredible. I want to see Candy Burris. I want to see Erica Jane. I want them to bring on Teresa Giudice and Alexia from Miami in the same way that they brought in Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan. Like, because, you know, they're really, honestly, like two sides of the same coin. Like, one's blonde, one's brunette, one's Cuban, one's Italian. It's very strange how similar they are. So I would like to see that. I don't really know, you know, the competition shows, like the Survivor, the Big Brothers of it all. I don't really know them. So, but, you know, I'm happy to see whoever y'all suggest from that. But another housewife that we have, somebody who tagged, or they posted a picture with the Traitors logo on it. So that was pretty obvious, Kenny Moore. So there's that. I just like can't latch on to Kenny Moore. Like at my best, I'm warmed to her. At my worst, I'm just like, ugh, boo, get her off the stage. Like she just doesn't like do it for me really. And I would like for that to happen, but most of the time it's just like, meh, take it or leave it. So I feel like what I find most annoying about Kenya is when she is like intentionally villainous, when she's like really laying it on thick, which I think she's going to think she needs to do in the Traitors. And I don't want to see that. Like Phaedra was incredible for the Traitors because the drama that Phaedra Parks exudes is natural. You know, like it takes a lot of work to get Kenya to that point. Whereas Phaedra will just tell you, I have an alleged 5-month-old baby who's ready to come out of the womb, you know, like he's ready to get up on it out of here, you know, like, and she has no qualms about saying that. And that's just like light work for her, you know, that's why Phaedra worked. Like in reality, Kenya Moore's biggest lies are about the men that she pays to associate with her. Like Walter, ma'am, you want us to think there's a world in which you are attracted to this man, Walter. And the craziest thing is you let him play you and be like, I'm not attracted to her. What? That was crazy. God bless her for it. You know what I mean? So This brings me to something, and I think it's like a sensitive subject. I've been hearing rumors that there are, you know, perhaps certain people who were not going to be on Traitors, people who we would be very excited about, people that have been on the top of the list for many people, that are not going to be on Traitors, allegedly, and there are perhaps congratulations, good reasons. So there's a silver lining to why they have not been asked on the show. I'm not going to get into it, okay, other than what I just said, but maybe if it happens, we'll talk about it later. Okay, move on. Let's talk about our last story. This one is a deep dive, y'all. I know that I talked about these people before and the convictions with the Chrisleys, Todd and Julie, but shit went down last week, y'all, and we got to get into it. It was a mess. And so because of that, I got to give you guys like the whole fucking origin story about what's going on with Todd and Julie Chrisley and Chase and Lindsay and Savannah and Kyle. Damn near all of them. It is some mess, okay? Strap in, you guys. We're going to go back. 2012, okay? 2012. Chrisley Todd. Chrisley, Todd. Inmate number whatever his name is. has this business partner named Mark Braddock. They're working together for well over a decade, and things go awry on or about 2012. They have this like brotherhood like relationship, which is an odd way to put it if I give you the other information in a second. They had this like brotherly kind of relationship, according to Mark, and he says that in 2012 they completely stopped working together and it just like went totally crazy. Todd's calling the police, threat, like, get out of the office type shit. Like, it's wild, right? So Mark is like, all right, bet. So beep, 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 boop, 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 boop. What's the number for the FBI? Oh, hi, FBI. I've got a fucking story for you, okay? And I will be requesting immunity in exchange for that. Thank you so much. So Mark gives him all the evidence against Todd and Julie, and he sits on that witness stand and says in what, 2019, that man was a lover and a confidant. We had a whole year long sexual relationship, romantic relationship with each other. Yes, I have a wife and children. Yes, I'm still married. Yes, I had to tell her all this before I went on this witness stand, and that's the truth, right? We're going to stay married. We're going to maintain our relationship. But I was, you know, boop, 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 with Todd back in the day, at least for a while. Okay. So he goes on to say, but listen, they're scheming. They're frauding. They're cooking the books and saying that they're worth a lot more money so that they can get loans from shit. And it's not good. I've seen it with my own two eyes and I'm ready to talk about it, which is why Todd and Julie got, 14 years for Todd and 5 for Julie, respectively. So they've been in there since 2022. And Savannah, who is the youngest daughter, has been like fighting their convictions the whole time. She has custody of Chase, her youngest brother, and Chloe, who is her half-brother. Kyle's her oldest half-brother, who had like the, you know, he's had some issues, he's been in and out, you know, we've been struggling with sobriety. So Chloe eventually was adopted by Todd and Julie, but since they were, you know, clankety clank, Savannah has now taken custody of Chloe. So she's got custody of her youngest brother and her niece. So as you guys know, Todd had two sets of families. He had a wife, he had Kyle and Lindsay with, and then he had Julie that he married. He had Chase, Savannah, Grayson, and that's it, right? So two sets of families. So Lindsay is the oldest daughter, the half-sister to Savannah. We've seen her on the show. She had a husband and a kid at some point, and she also has a podcast with Kale from Teen Mom called Coffee Convos, but she has her own podcast called Southern Tea. So on April 19th, Todd and Julie were going to have an appeal for their case. All the family showed up there except for Lindsay. So people, you know, are looking. They've been following this case, saying, oh, Lindsay's not in any of the pictures. What's going on? So Lindsay goes on her Southern Tea podcast on the 24th, and she says, yeah, I was not there. I know a lot of people were saying from the footage that they saw from the courthouse that I was not there, and that's because I wasn't there. I do feel like it was in the best interest for me and everybody else. My sister privately let the message get to us that she did not want us present at the hearing. And it was shared to me that if we were there, there would be issues and that we would be asked to leave. It's mind-blowing to me, the control and the manipulation. It very much alarms me, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Now, she said the message was delivered to her. Allegedly, that message was delivered by none other than their grandmother, Nanny Faye. Now, why is she in it? That woman's been struggling with her health for years now. I think she's got cancer. Leave her out of it. Let her rest. Now, this brings us to Savannah, who addresses in an Instagram in a parking lot, seeming like some sort of park somewhere. I don't know. She was like, I didn't want to talk about this, but I got to let this out. Now, we're going to put a pin on this for 1 second. And I just want to just put something into your awareness. This has nothing to do with the case, really. But I would just like to say, I just want to let y'all know that Savannah's current boyfriend is a man named Robert Shiver. He was the subject of a murder for hire plot last year in the Bahamas. He and his he's like a football star from Alabama, but he and his wife had been married, like they're like college sweethearts or whatever, and they bought a house in the Bahamas. So there was a situation, like a robbery or something that happened in the Bahamas, and there was an investigation going on. So they were searching somebody's WhatsApp messages, and in the WhatsApp messages, they found that the wife was trying to get Robert killed by some like hitman. They were trying to hire a hitman to get this man killed. So she's got a lot going on. Okay. A lot. Okay. So back to Savannah in the parking lot at the park talking about like, I got to let this out. I don't want to address this, but I'm about to let the chopper spray. Right. So she said, I most certainly told her not to attend. I told her that she was not wanted, that my dad did not want her there. Todd did not want her there. And that Todd did not care to have a relationship with her. So I said all of those things, and I'm more than happy that I said them, and it's my parents' appeal. They have the right to see who they want there and who they do not. So what has been happening is I didn't know the full details of this situation and how Lindsay basically fully got them imprisoned, in my opinion. Okay, so Savannah says this had been a rumor that they had read out letters that Lindsay had written to the FBI about her parents during the trial. And you can see these emails online. And here's what happened. So the reason why Lindsay got involved is that around September 2017, Todd Chrisley tweets, like mother, like daughter, once a cheater, always a cheater, once a liar, always a liar. Hashtag the truth may cost you your child. Hashtag it's coming out. Hashtag gloves off. And then he tweeted again, sometimes those that lie need to be exposed in order to stop the madness. Hashtag cheated twice. Hashtag thanks God for puppy cams. Hashtag sue me over the truth. Hashtag psycho. Imagine saying that about your daughter. Yikes. So Lindsay reached out to the FBI because she believed those tweets were about her, referring to a sex tape that existed of her. This sex tape apparently happened when she was at a friend's house fucking this dude that she was with, and the friend caught it on the puppy cam. So apparently, you know, Lindsay says she didn't know about this until after the fact. She does not speak to Todd or the family for 2 years. So from 2017 to 2019, they're not talking because she's like, my own dad just threatened to out a sex tape with me on Twitter. So, you know. So 2 years later, she gets a call from her brother, Kyle. 2019, hey, dad wants to have a one-on-one conversation with you. Lindsay, according to her, says, okay, cool. She's going into the situation thinking that Todd is going to apologize. They're going to, you know, come back together. And he's like, no, actually, the hammer's about to come down. It's getting real hot for us. It's about to come all over the papers, all over the news. Like, we just want to let you know. And I want to know how much you're involved in this. How much did you know about us about to, like, get in trouble, right? She says, Lindsay says she gets angry at this accusation. How dare you? And is like, you need to stop. And you need to tell my brother Chase to stop. So apparently, Todd then tells her, you need to be careful because we have that sex tape. We are the ones in possession of it. Chase, your brother, went to get this video of you fucking some dude, paid $5,000 for it. This is what she's saying. Her dad is telling her at a rib shack, mind you. He told her, meet me at a rib shack and keep your phone in your car so the feds don't, you know, hear this conversation. I forgot to mention that. Very pertinent information for me. Okay. So I'm trying to imagine me sitting in a rib shack. I got my phone in my car because my dad's saying, you know, it's too hot for us. You're saying, you're accusing me. You're saying I'm about to get arrested from the feds or whatever. How much did you know about this, girly? And also, your half-brother drove to Nashville, put $5,000 on a sex tape on a fucking Furbo, and we're going to hold it over your head? What the hell's going on here? So I did all of my research. I don't know what happens, but they, and by they I mean Lindsay and Todd, go from I'm holding the sex tape over your head to Lindsay now flipping the script and saying that this conversation was a complete misunderstanding. I don't know why I sent you all those letters, Mr. FBI. And she looks like a fucking clown on the witness stand. The judge says something about this, like, how could you go from I'm scared, I'm shaking, I'm physically shaking. She said Julie slapped her. Imagine Julie. I don't doubt it. Like, I could see it. Never mind. So I'm just like, okay, get yourself together, girl. So Lindsay's like such a shit show on the witness stand. The judge is like, you're obviously fucking lying. What's going on? Who made you do this? You know, like, you're lying for your father under oath completely. So in the sentencing memorandum for Todd and Julie, it says that the prosecution called for a heavier term specifically because they knew that Todd threatened and intimidated and unlawfully influenced Lindsay. And that's clearly how they had all this evidence. And now she's like, oh, big mistake. My bad, y'all. JK. LOL. Like, wild. So now we go back to present day. And Savannah, now we have to understand, okay, why Savannah might be feeling like, girl, why the hell are you trying to, you know, act like a supportive daughter when you're the problem? So this brings me to part, 17 of this whole, chapter 17 of this whole situation. So earlier this year, January of 2024, both Todd and Julie actually received $1 million from their 2019 federal lawsuit that was issued against Josh Waits. He was one of the one of the agents involved in like the Georgia tax department. This is who one of the people that Lindsay reported to. Now, the allegation here is that Lindsay was fucking.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. As we all know, when it comes to everyone's business, I like to mention it all, but when it comes to mine, I like to keep things a little bit closer to the chest. But that method doesn't always work when it comes to your mental health, and we all need a way to purge and get it out. Therapy is a safe space to do that and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down by learning positive coping skills and all the tools you need to help you be the best version of yourself. BetterHelp is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So you can just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/everyonesbusiness today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/everyonesbusiness. Fucking Josh, and they were little bedfellows. She was bedfellows in that, bunking up with a FBI agent or whoever, some sort of agent, and was telling him all the secrets about her daddy and the family. And so, to lend credence to this, Lindsay has been denying this. She's saying, I did not know this man. I don't know his dick. I didn't tell him anything. Like, we had a completely professional relationship, but why did Josh Waits have to give your parents $1 million 3 months ago, babe, because of misconduct that happened with regard to this investigation? She claims she doesn't know anything about this. Girl, I don't know. It's giving. And so why Lindsay is saying, well, I'm very surprised that they don't want me there, and I'm feeling very used by them, and it just seems like after they got convicted, things really changed in our relationship. Like, yeah, girl, because your name's all up in the memorandum for why they got 14 years instead of, like, whatever the hell. So, honestly, I'm surprised you say it does kind of seem like, I'm not going to go so far as to say that Todd and Julie are innocent, but I will say that it does seem like the law might be on their side. And Savannah said back a month ago that if things go well, they could be back roaming the streets of Atlanta or wherever the fuck in a couple months, like at the end of this summer. So thoughts and prayers, y'all, or whatever would be the situation for this occasion. So before we get into our Martha's Vineyard recap, you know, there were two episodes of Tori. I'm still on the Tori spelling train, make no mistake. However, you know, all love and light to Shannon Doherty. The problem is that she's, like, maybe a little too sane, I think. And so this, what we got was two parts of a conversation with Shannon Doherty, in which Shannon is, like, a very smart, very with it woman. And unfortunately, like I said, like, that's the issue. So, like, it wasn't really giving like the other episodes were giving, but, like, it was a pretty good conversation. So, like, hang tight. We're still, like I said, on the Tory train, and I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis of what happened in part two. We're not even going to get into part one. So, she admits, where we left off, actually, we are going to talk about part one, and a cliffhanger. She talks about a text conversation that she had with Brian Austin Green, who she says has been, like, really supportive to her since the breakup with Dean, right? And he was saying something like, oh, you know, you'll be okay. You're fine. You know, like, you got your heart broken. I totally get that. And she says, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I was in love. No one's broken my heart since you. And then they just kind of, like, left it there. And then she made a joke and she was like, oh, LOL. Like, I'm just kidding. And then they just, like, kept it pushing, which seems like a very awkward thing to do. Also, Tori seems to think her relationship to her fame is so fascinating to me. Like, granted, I was not there in a firsthand experience. I was quite young when 90210 came out. I've never seen it. And I, you know, like, I remember it being a touchstone, but like, I don't have, I don't know, you know? So like, maybe she was a much bigger star. And like, my view of her of like 2000 to now, Tori, is not the reality of like how big she was at the time. But to me, she just has a very like, interesting relationship to how big of a star she is. And there seems to be this prevalent idea that the men that could possibly be interested in her would not be interested in her because of her level of fame, because they would have to basically be like Mr. Tori Spelling, and how difficult that is and how hard that is to feed like a man's ego. And I just, like I said, think that that's a very interesting perspective, not to have in general. Like, we all know that happens. Shout out to Bethany and Jason. But for Tori Spelling specifically, I just find that to be interesting. So Shannon did mention, like, you know, why don't we talk about actual celebrities? Why do you think Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman are able to make it work? Because he doesn't seem to be intimidated by the fact that she's like the baddest bitch, you know, and he has his own career. And she's like, you know, that is very valid. But she, again, like, doesn't get it. She's like, I just don't know. Shannon is like, how about maybe, have you considered not making that such an issue in your relationships? Like, have you thought about that? And it seems like the answer to that was no. And then Tori's biggest revelation in part two was really just, in order for her to own her power, is to stop doing her trademark giggle. She says that she has a giggle that just like brings all the boys to the yard, and that she catches herself doing it as an act of cuteness and being a little sweetie, and that she is really going to stop that. And so, congratulations, you know? Okay, let's talk about Martha's Vineyard.
I'm not gonna lie, and you know me, I'm gonna keep it real with you. It very much felt like, what's going on?
I don't know.
I didn't do nothing to you.
I thought we left at the pool.
I didn't do nothing to you.
Did I not come up to you 7 times and say, I was drunk, I'm sorry, I don't remember?
Yes, but I'm just saying.
Like,
yeah, but Summer, like, I was sitting next to you the whole time. That should never happen.
But that's why I said,
it
like,
was given five.
But that's why I said, like, I love you, I'm wrong. I might be just drunk. I love you, I'm wrong.
Right, let's get into Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. And here's what we're going to do, okay? I'm going to talk to y'all a little bit about why I'm a Summer truther slash apologist, okay? What she did was not right, but I'm rocking with my girl. So if you don't want to hear it, then maybe this isn't the episode for you. But I'm seeing where she was coming from now in watching the episode twice as I have. I'm like, okay, I now get it. First episode, I'm like, I don't know, girl. I don't know what's happening here. But second one, I'm like, oh, I'm seeing the connective tissue. Granted, the first time I only watched like the 20 minutes and in and out. So, you know, there were a lot of holes for me, but it doesn't change anything. Anyway, let's talk about the episode. So we start off the morning right, in my eyes, and probably yours, because Amir's shirts out, shirts off, titty out, doing stretches in his boxer briefs as God intended, you know, and let the Lord say amen. Summer's on the phone with her Nana, right? Her Nana's talking about her sight's going to be gone. Like, she's about to go have a surgery, and her sight is going to be gone for like 4 to 6 months. What? That's crazy. Summer tells us that her Nana adopted her. Her mom struggles with addiction, so her Nana adopted her. And we see a flashback. She's telling, seems like most of the guys, from 2 days before, where she contacted the man who she thought was her father, and he was like, it couldn't possibly be me. And so she had to go back to her mom, and her mom was like, well, it could be somebody else, but that person would have been a one-night stand. So this man would have no idea that she even exists. So Summer's like dealing with a lot, right? So she also is talking to her mom, or her Nana rather, and she's telling her Nana, like, you know, I have a tendency to not share my issues with people because I don't want to be a burden to other people. And she says, you know, I have learned to, like, keep myself to myself, not share my feelings. My mom wasn't really there for me. And then I'm passed off to people who were also emotionally unavailable. And, like, I just have learned to suppress those. So more on that later, right? We go over to Bria's room. Simon's texting her like, oh, I'll be there soon. It's couples weekend. Preston says in a confessional, his man Donald's showing up. Simon, you know, when we love him. Natalie, Amir's girlfriend, is also there. They're going to be having a mixer that Preston's holding, and that's going to be like the precursor to Jordan doing her DJ set. They're going to have a whole Freaknik-themed party. Mariah's coming. Jasmine says in a confessional that this situation where she had to kick her ass out of the first house, no shade, was like the first time in the 12 years of their relationship since they were, you know, living in that Honda, 97 Honda together. That was the first time that their relationship really was tested. And she's been working real hard to get it back. And also, you know, Sergeant Marriage isn't there. He's off in Army. She needs some support. So Mariah's coming. Will she be sleep support? You know, who's to say? Simon shows up. He's got a full fucking flamingo print pajamas on. Nick says in a confessional, I have several questions about these flamingo print pajamas. First question is, where do we buy it, right? That's number one. Second question is, why did you buy it? I gotta say, those little peanuts getting in a little bit on me. The past couple episodes are like, all right, in these confessionals, I'm like, you're eating, you're nibbling just a little bit. Just a little bit. And I have to acknowledge it, all right? So then Donald shows up. Everybody seems to love him immediately. People go out to Bria's balcony, right? They're drinking rosé, and she's telling them, like, y'all, Phil's on the vineyard. I want him to come to this party. So they call Preston and Donald out, like, to ask them. In a confessional, Preston gives us all the tea on Donald, right? They met, like, they've been living together for, like, 3 years, but they met in late 2019. He sees this man with a big-ass smile messaging him on Jacked, and, you know, we go from Jacked to Black Love. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, right? He says, what I love the most about Donald is he's going to give you a raised eyebrow, and when you can tell he's got some shady things to say, but he's going to keep it to him. I just love him. That's a good man, Savannah. So Simon says, Preston, we just started the Phil conversation. I would like Phil to come. Like, I need some laughter today. And they're like, what? Laughter. They're like, huh? Laughter? Oh, okay. So, fine. So then, Preston's like, I'm not inviting him, but you can, Bria. And she's like, cool. That's fine. He says, listen, I hope we can get Phil in a good place, but I'm always nervous when he's around because Phil loves attention. And what happens when he doesn't get it? You know, what I do know is that he better stay in his place. Amen. So then Bria asks everybody, is this y'all's first time seeing Natalie, Amir's girlfriend? And they're like, yeah, yes and no, right? So Amir picked up Natalie. Interesting, right? Everybody seemed to make it on their own, except for he had to, like, go all the way and pick her up. Interesting. But then he's given her the 411 on the way back to the house, right? Summer is just a very touchy person, and Natalie's like, yeah, we already know that. I already knew she was a touchy person. I told you multiple times, like, she's very touchy. I don't like it. Summer's telling everybody out on the balcony that they met at some event, and Natalie was real standoffish when she met her. She's like, I was coming at her all love, but she was being odd with me. And then Amir's like, you know, if anything happens, I just want you to know, Natalie, it's just me and you. Just me and you. Free him. Free Amir. I don't like this. I don't like this. There are a couple implications in this relationship that I'm not loving. And I just feel like, I think that there's a time often in straight men's lives where they get caught up in, I think I gotta, like, fight for this. We're like Bonnie and Clyde. It's us against the world. And, like, he says, you know, she challenges me. And that's a great word. If it's like, oh, this person is pushing me to, like, think outside of myself and, like, genuinely be a better person, better myself in a real way, right? Not like we're constantly fighting because I asked her what I should have for dinner and she's blowing up my phone like, who's your other bitch? Because you must be talking to somebody else asking me, what do you want for dinner? That's not what we were talking about. So who else are you talking to? Like, that's not a challenge. That's a deal breaker, you know? So after that, Bria FaceTimes Phil and he's like, I got good news. Aunt, you can come and you should tell Mariah. And he's like in a car, right? And he's like, oh, right here. Flips the phone over and Mariah's like, hey, Bria. And Bria's like, oh, hey, girl. Wow, how are you? Like, totally. I was not expecting you and to have to be nice to you right now. Hi. So Shanice walks in and Bria's like, look, Shanice, look who's here. And Shanice is like, oh, uh-oh, plot twist. So Mary and Natalie come into the house and all the women are just like scattered. Okay. Like, no, thanks. We're going to find anything else to do than this. So Amir says his relationship with Natalie, most serious relationship that he's been in, right? Another red flag for maybe this is like why you're so all in, because it just feels very like real and adult. And you're like, oh, I should just lock this down. But we don't always have to do that. Sometimes it's great. This case, I don't know, babe. But he's like, you know, she's a badass bitch. I mean, chick. I didn't say that. So he's like knocking on doors like, hey, Summer, do you want to meet Natalie? And they're like, one sec. I'm doing anything else. I'll be out there. Never. So he manages to catch Jordan on the way. He's just posted up at the top of the staircase because he's catching somebody. Okay. He's bringing somebody back to that room. He catches Jordan at the top of the stairs and he's like, oh, hey, I just was checking in on you. Did you want to see Natalie? She's like, oh, yeah, I was getting my makeup done. Noelle, are you downstairs? And Noelle's like, yeah, come downstairs. She's like, oh, I got to go. And he's like, okay. Natalie, they catch her. She's clearly listening at the door to see what conversation is being had. But then when she hears the possibility that somebody might be coming to the room, she, like, runs. Odd behavior. So Amira says, you know, Natalie knows that every woman in this house has expressed some kind of interest in me. Cut to Shanice with her titties out, which just seems like old hat at this point. Not like express interest in you. I could see why maybe you thought that at first. But now, after the 54th time that you've seen Shanice's titties, don't you think that maybe they weren't really like specifically for you? And it might just be her own thing. Anyway, and then he says that there are some girls that were not interested. Cut to Jordan, obviously, right? So then he says, I just want to make sure that if anything else this weekend, that Natalie is assured that what I'm saying I'm doing is actually happening. And that what's happening is that I'm staying away from Jordan. What? Why? I don't think you need to do that. Like, Natalie, this is my man, the last woman that I know for a fact that he seemed interested in, because it happened on national television, is Jordan. Fine. But doesn't that at some point fall to bits when you see how Jordan felt about him? Like, it's very clear that she's not interested. She's not going to be. There's not going to be, like, a night where they accidentally kiss. And I think Amir is very clear on that, to the point where he's not going to blow up this minefield of a relationship with you for a girl that clearly does not give a fuck and would not give him the time of day. And that was established well before the season even ended. And he didn't even know it. Like, she was like, oh, I'm good by like episode 4. He didn't find out till maybe like the finale. But still, you know, I just find that very Jordan. Okay. So after that, everybody gets to Preston's cocktail party. One of Preston's friends is asking, has anybody ever been to Freaknik? And Noelle's like, no, but my dad would talk like he was all up and through there, like he was patrolling. Okay. That's how my cousin was born. But she doesn't want to talk about that because she's like a renowned Christian. So they were like, yeah, probably a lot of kids that were born at Freaknik. Why did Simon tell Preston, you look like Milli Vanilli? Why did you say that, Simon? Why would that be the touchstone? Anyway, Phil shows up and Nick says in a confessional, I've only ever been in the same place with Phil once. One time ever. I go to Wimbledon. I go to the Kentucky Derby, the U.S. Open, golf, tennis. I'm in Tokyo. I'm in London. I'm in South Africa. We don't do the same stuff. Nicholas, get out of here. Bria's just sitting there eating her sushi, okay? We had, like, the good fancy sushi boats. With, like, the wooden boats filled with sushi. That's the classy stuff, I can tell. She's eating her sushi and minding her business. And she says in the confessional, I don't give a fuck about San Mariah. Because she's not my friend, okay? I can coexist in the same party with her. That's fine. So Shanice whispers to Phil, like, go make the rounds. So meanwhile, Mariah says hi to Amir. And he tells us in a confessional that since last summer, he and Mariah have exchanged a couple of messages. Screenshots pop up, y'all. Woo! Where Mariah says, at Amir, it's disappointing that you haven't been man enough to take accountability for putting the dog clothes inside the dryer. I heard it from others and waited until the episode 3 to see that it was actually you. You could have at least mentioned it, but the fact that you watched two black women argue, that could have gone left real quick, by the way. She's put that in parentheses. And then you voted me out, you hugged me, I've seen you multiple times, etc. And you didn't say anything, speaks volumes about your character. So Amir responds, Mariah, thank you for texting me instead of taking this to the group chat to resolve this, since this is how you feel about me too. I'm sorry that you feel that. And I feel like I'm sorry that you feel the need to question my character because I didn't personally apologize to you about putting the clothes in the washer / dryer. And then he says, like, basically, like, I don't think you want an apology. And he says, I don't owe her anything. She left because she put her hands on somebody, period. I'm like, barely. Barely. And her hand was balled up with that dog clothes that you put in the dryer. So the fact that you think you don't need to apologize to her. Because what's, like, real here? Like, yeah, it escalated to a situation, but it wouldn't have had she known the full story. Had everybody known the full story. It would have been a very different outcome. And the other thing is, like, that was a single mom. And break wall fourth. Breaking the fourth wall. She lost out on a big check by not being on that whole season, you know? Like, that. And she, who knows what things that she put aside in her life and what checks she turned down thinking, like, oh, this is about to be a bigger check and a bigger opportunity for me. And then here she is out 72 hours later, like, damn. After that, there's this conversation with a group of people and Natalie and Amir, and they're talking because Natalie is also works in real estate, but she says that they are on, like, two different playing fields because he does, like, the under $1 million and she's, like, $2 million or more. And she's like, yeah, I make in a month what he makes in a year. And everybody's just like, okay. So Bria and Mariah have their conversation, and Mariah's like, listen, I like to always squash shit when I can. First of all, I did not know it was you who did not put the dog clothes in the dryer, and the reason why I blew up is because I'm allergic to dogs, but I love Milo, and I want you to know that, but, like, I just felt like it was intentional, and I wasn't quite sure who did it, but when I asked you, you didn't say that you didn't do it. And so Bria's like, yeah, yeah, we could have avoided a lot if we had known what happened, right? So before Phil gathers the guys to talk to him, we find out that he's been messaging Jordan, like DMing her, like, oh, are you still mad at me, LOL? Like, weird shit. So she wants no parts, right?
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
He goes up to the guys and he's like, oh, no, I got fucked up last year. I'm sorry. And Nick says, what transpired last year was, like, it was petty. It was chaotic. And Amir says, listen, like, I've never really had bullies before, but the way you came in, like, kind of escalated things. So Phil, it was just like, you know, because he came in with a bottle of 1942. Well, the tequila was really expensive, and, you know, I want to show up, like, be cool and whatever, and I don't remember some of the things I said. And they were like, yeah, you can't really blame it on the drinking. Like, we're not, no. Nick, flat out, I don't have time for this. So Amir's like, you know, we're a family, okay? I was sticking up for my boys, and, you know, Amir's like trying to tell him, I can go over that. I can get over this. But Phil keeps talking over him. He's like, yeah, and he's like, they keep talking over each other. And Amir's like, okay, I would like to finish the sentence. Like, you got to let me finish the sentence. So Phil's like, you know, I just really appreciate y'all accepting my apology. None of them did. And Nick says, we just want you to look out for yourself. Like, for real. Nick seemed genuinely concerned. And Phil's like, yeah, you know, that's, I feel like something that we need to do for each other more, you know. And they're like, uh-huh, whatever. All of them leave. In a confessional, Nick says something that I always talk about. You know how when you have a book report that you're not prepared for, like, you had months to figure that out? He had a year. Didn't read the book. And the presentation was bad. So if I never saw Phil again, I think I'd be okay. So when they get back to the house, Shanice says, Amir and Natalie are cute because they're the same height. And she says, ding, and they're both 5'4". And then she passes out in bed. And somebody knocks on the door. She's like, hello? Nick and Alex are going to be putting on temporary tattoos. We're going to have to talk more about that in a second. Simon comes down looking like Franklin the puppet from Arrested Development. He hops right on the counter and starts twerking. I don't know what the hell's going on. Alex comes down. I'm surprised that he let Summer take pictures of him. Actually, let me talk about Watch What Happens Live last night, because Alex said a couple things. Andy asked, because Summer was on a couple weeks ago, and he asked her, how would you rate it out of 10? Alex being inside of you, and she said a 5. Obviously, Andy brought this up to Alex, who was simping real hard to get some sort of contract or a doo-wop pop deal with Candy. But, you know, who can blame him? He said he didn't want to answer what his answer would be for Summer, which I thought was probably for the best. But he did say that she was, like, blowing his phone up a couple days prior to, either prior to him being on Watch What Happens Live or prior to her coming on Watch What Happens Live. And he said that she was texting him like a scorned ex. And a lot of people have, like, you know, caught on to this and were like, oh, see, I knew it. Blah, blah, blah. This is just another example of, like, he keeps it cute by not saying the number, right? But then he throws out this, like, oh, well, she texted me. There's, like, weird stuff. But he doesn't want to say what it was. We don't know the context, and so then we just run with, like, the fact that she's crazy. And you're like, oh, but he's being so nice because he didn't say what the number was. But he, like, threw out the shit that, like, she did something weird and fucked up. And, like, maybe she did, but, like, then just say what it was. Say exactly what it was instead of just being like, oh, she hit me up like some scored ex. Because for you, whatever a scored ex might be, I don't know. I don't know what your definition of scorned ex would be, considering how afraid you seem to be of commitment. So I just need more receipts. If you're going to say it, what'd she do? What'd she do, Alex? Tell it. Or don't say anything at all. Like, you know that makes her sound crazy. So back it up then, you know? You know? Anyway, so what happens after that? Oh, okay. So now what I want to know is everybody's, like, milling around downstairs, right? And they're having a good time. They're getting a little turned up, taking shots, whatever. Merrymaking. And you can hear it from the bedroom that Amir's in. Jasmine gave up, by the way. Pregnant Jasmine gave up for so that they can have their own room. So Natalie says, I don't want to be part of that. What? Part of what, girl? Part of what? I have questions. Anyway, Nick comes down with a chest full of tattoos, like head to toe, Travis Barker style, Wiz Khalifa, the Stefan Urkel jumped out in Nick. Everyone was like, who? Whoops. is that? Where did he come from? He's got the hat on. He's giving us back. Shanice did say, I mean, he opens his mouth and it's obvious it's Nick, but if he doesn't, Shanice was feeling him real bad at this party. She's like, where's your girlfriend? I'm fucking Nick tonight, guys. Nick, where are you? I'm fucking you tonight. Please don't. So the party ends and it's just Summer in the hot tub. Like, they're all getting ready, but it's Summer, Nick, and Natalie just like, Summer wants to die until finally people come out and they're like partying, right? Everybody's talking to Amir and Natalie about their relationship. Like, what do you guys think? What's your future like? Natalie's just like, oh, well, I moved him onto my real estate team. It's kind of cool for us to be like working together, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, well, for me, next step is engagement. Like, you can hear a pin drop. Shanice says in a confessional, I think it is wild that he's already ready for a proposal. He loves to be in love, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he needs to make sure that Natalie's right for him. So after that, they're playing Never Have I Ever. And I just love that there's always one person in the group who doesn't understand how it works. In this case, it's Noelle. So she goes, never have I ever sucked dick. And they're like, girl, you've never sucked dick? And she's like, no, I have. And they're like, okay, no, that's not how it works, right? Everybody's fine with it except for Summer, who gets real upset. And there's a miscommunication, right? Where it seems like Summer thought that Bria said something crazy to her. So she snapped at her. Did she throw a drink? It seemed like she threw like her drink at her. But everybody's like, first of all, huh? But then secondly, they're like, we think Summer's real drunk. We're going to let it go, right? Dead it. So Bria and Summer, they make up. They're hugging. Everybody gets ready for bed, right? But Alex says something like, he's taking his tattoos off in the kitchen sink. And she's like, why didn't you go to the bathroom sink? What's the problem? She's like, no, I'm just wondering. And he's like, you know, last summer, I really saw her as like a lucid person and kind, but I'm not noticing that this year. So Shanice and Noelle and Bria all go to a room. They're just kicking it, having like girly time, right? Twerking, meow meowing, whatever. And they're kind of talking about Summer like, oh, she's lit, right? We don't know what the hell happened. Why she got into it with Bria? Bria's like, I don't know, girl. So Shanice is like, oh, just so you know, my door doesn't lock. So if somebody walks in, we got to come up with a code. What's it going to be? Obviously, meow meow. So Summer walks upstairs and is like, why are you guys leaving me out of everything? Shanice goes, meow, 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 meow. So Bria tells Summer, you yelled at me. And Summer's like, I already apologized to you 7 times for that. What do you want from me? So Noelle says, I'm not going to lie, Summer. It's very much giving, like, what's going on here? And Summer says, I don't know. I thought we left this at the pool. Bria tells Summer, I didn't do anything. And Summer's like, but I already told you I'm really drunk and I'm sorry. Like, I don't remember what you said. I don't know what happened. And Bria says, but I was sitting next to you the whole time. It didn't need to go there. And Noelle says, it's just giving feisty. And Summer says, well, that's why I said, Bria, like, I love you. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I'm just drunk. So Noelle and Shanice, while Bria and Summer are talking, we got the meow meow wig back on. Shanice and Noelle are doing a full photo shoot. They're just like having a fun time. But Summer turns her head and they're giggling. And she obviously thinks she's overly sensitive and drunk, thinks that the laughter is about her. And so Noelle's like, no. Summer's running out of the room, feeling very like embarrassed. And Noelle's like, no, I swear to you, we were just taking pictures. Like, that had nothing to do with you. Nobody was laughing at you, right? So Bria and Summer are now in the room. But Noelle comes in and she says, I know you guys are having a conversation, but I just want to make sure that me and you, Summer, are good. And that I didn't make you mad because I really, like, wasn't trying to do anything. And Summer's like, no. Like, it's fine. Whatever. Like, you guys just have your own friendship and I'm left out of it. So they tell her, Bria tells her, but you got your friendship with Preston and Jordan and I'm left out of that. I'm not part of that. And Summer's like, no, I promise you it's not that great. You don't want to be part of it. So Summer says in a confessional, Preston just lost his dad. Jordan's dealing with her personal issues with her hair. So she's got her own shit going on. And their friendship just becomes very heavy. So when she sees Noelle, Shanice, and Bria twerking and putting their wigs on, like, they're just having lighthearted fun. She's not part of that. And she just is jealous and wishes that she could be, right? So Noelle is like, no, okay, Summer, really, what's going on? Because it seems like there's something more to you. And she's like, listen, I'm drowning. I'm overwhelmed by life. I don't know how to vocalize that properly. Okay? And so she says in a confessional, well, a producer asks her, are you searching for help from your friends? And she says, part of me doesn't want help because I don't like feeling a burden to people. But that's so stupid because that's what friends are for. So Noelle says, okay, let's all talk about this. Let's go back in Shanice's room. All four of us, we're going to talk about this, right? Shanice has been sitting there in her bed. She's got half a chicken wing in her mouth. And she's, like, trying to make herself smaller so that Summer doesn't come back and, like, chop her in the throat. I don't know what she's afraid of, but she's like, mm-mm. The chicken wing's still in her mouth, mind you. So they all sit down, and Summer says, I just need to collect my thoughts, right? And Bria says, she says to Bria, like, I was wrong. I apologize. She's like, whatever. And she says, I thought we were done with it. It just feels like it got brought back up again. And Bria's like, I'm not mad at you. And Summer says, but it just feels like you are. And Bria says, it's because I'm tired of getting ganged up on and being accused of things. To which Summer says, but I have your back, though. And Bria says, do you? So Noelle's like, okay, what is the situation? And Bria says, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And Summer says, no, just like say it. Like say it, right? And so Noelle keeps trying to comfort Summer. And Summer just kind of like pushes her off of her. And then she turns to Bria and says, I just pushed her. Are you happy? Like, fuck you, you dumb bitch. Fuck you. Your boyfriend doesn't even fuck with you, dumb bitch. Now this, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. I need safety and comfort. Where are we? Where does this come from, Summer? What happened with Simon? What, he doesn't fuck with her. What happened, girl? What do you mean by that? But also, like, are you okay? Where was that? And I'm saying, like, I don't condone what she's doing, how she's acting, but I do think that we do need to take into consideration she's drunk. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. She's dealing with this stuff with her Nana. Nobody seems to know about this, I guess, at least as far as what we're seeing. And she's also feeling, like, sensitive and left out. I have felt this way. Now, granted, it's probably not been since high school, but there have been times where, like, you just feel like you take yourself out of the game to protect yourself or you don't want to be a burden or whatever. And then you see people kind of, like, following your lead and matching your energy by, like, going on their own wavelength. And though, even though you've isolated yourself, it feels like you are being isolated from people, even though that's not really what's happening. But that's how it feels. Like, that's what you are given. It's kind of like when people are like, oh, I don't want to go, but you still have to invite me. You know what I mean? It's sort of like that. So I see how she's self-inflicting these wounds on her, Summer. But I'm also understanding how we're getting here. Now, the stuff of Simon, I don't know, girl. Like, I want it. Like, tell me. But that just seemed like a lot. Bria, fortunately, is like, I'm not even going to move off this bed. Like, I'm not even going to bother. Noelle keeps following Summer. She's following her across one room to the kitchen. What other side of the kitchen? Jordan's trying to ET herself, hide under a blanket, and at one point tried to put herself into a kitchen cabinet to hide from this fight. And they're just, Noelle's like, no, stop. Summer, are you okay? Please. Summer's just like on a tear. Anything that she is in her path is going to the ground. She's slamming things. She's walking towards the front door. Like, we don't know what's going on. To be continued. So, whew, love and light to Summer. This is obviously a very hard episode for her, but I see you, girl. I see you. I don't agree with it. But I see how we got here. And I'm hoping that we can come out of this. I really am. Because, like, you're that girl. And, like, the dress that you wore on Watch What Happens Live really ate. And so I want to keep liking you. Okay? All right. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. We'll chat a little bit later this week. Talk Seeking Sister Wife. We're going to talk fucking Vanderpump Rules. The Valley. Summer House, Hamptons, and more. If you want to check out merch, I've got merch now. You can check it out at the link at the episode description. You can also find the link to the survey, to any of my social media, my Patreon. Right now, we're opening the Bravo Vault on Patreon, talking. Last 2 weeks ago, I talked to Rachel Zoe Project series premiere. Then I did the Shazza Sunset series premiere. This week, I'm doing Tabitha's Salon Takeover series premiere. And then next month, we're heading right into Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List season one. I am so excited. So check that out. And y'all have a great day. Love you. Bye.